Welcome to Reactive Tech Brief Podcast. My name is Julia Tarr, your technology reporter. This week, we'll look at the statement by the High Representative on behalf of the EU on continued malicious behavior in cyberspace by the Russian Federation, together with independent cyber policy expert Pavlina Pavlova. Last week, the European Union alongside NATO condemned the malicious cyber activities conducted by APT-28 targeting Germany, the Czech Republic and other EU member states. APT-28, a Russian cyber espionage group also known by the name of Fancy Bear, is said to be responsible for dozens of cyber attacks globally in recent years. EU and NATO member states, including Poland, Lithuania, Slovakia and Sweden, were among those targeted in the past. According to the statement by the High Representative on behalf of the EU, Josep Borrell, this behavior undermines democratic institutions, government entities, and critical infrastructure, violating UN norms of responsible state behavior in cyberspace. The EU pledges to employ all available measures to prevent, deter, and respond to Russia's malicious actions in cyberspace. For an overview on all things technology in the EU, sign up to a free newsletter or visit the website euractiv.com. This is Euractiv's Tech Brief Podcast. So let's start at the beginning. What is APT-28 and why was such a statement necessary from the EU about it?
APT-28 is also known as Fancy Bear or Storm Tomb and Forest Blizzard. It actually has very many names and it's a known threat actor. It has a long history of engaging in malicious and disruptive behavior. And what is important to know about Fancy Bear is that it's a state-affiliated actor. It's very closely connected to Russia's military intelligence service, GRU. And the first detective activity of this advanced persistent threat was around 2004. When it comes to its activity, it focuses mostly on collecting intelligence that would be most useful to the Russian government. So it primarily engages in cyber espionage and it targets victims globally. When it comes to the targets as such, according to FireEye, Fancy Bear has been targeting privileged information related to governments, related to militaries and security organizations, at least since 2007. And some of the most prominent cases include cyber activities aimed at interfering in the 2016 US presidential elections and sustained hack and leak operations targeting the World Anti-Doping Agency. What is the goal of this malicious activity is that it intends to undermine the organization's reputation and perceptions of trust and the integrity of the organization, and it aims to conduct cyber espionage.
So how does APT-28's recent cyber campaign against Germany and the Czech Republic fit into the broader pattern of Russia's cyber activities in Europe?
So let's speak about what happened. Why this public attribution happened, and why this public attribution is very important to the process. On May the 3rd, the Czech Republic and Germany announced that they were the target of a long-term cyber espionage campaign conducted by Fancy Bear. Those two weren't the only countries impacted. Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, and Sweden were also affected. And the same threat actor targeted their governmental entities and critical infrastructure operators. And with this attribution done by the Czech Republic and Germany and other EU countries, also NATO joined in a public attribution, as well as the United Kingdom and the United States. And they also publicly attributed these attacks to Fancy Bear and condemned malicious cyber activity conducted by Russian intelligence services at large. And these attributions are very important because it's a process of assigning responsibility publicly to a specific actor, and then it can be followed up by further consequences. Attributions like this can differ. And this is why, for example, I found it very notable that Ukraine has repeatedly called for an internationally recognized mechanism for attribution.
So we will come back to the possible consequences that you mentioned. But let me ask first, what specific methods does APT-28 typically employ? and its cyber campaign, and how have they evolved over time?
So according to data collected by the State Service of Special Communications and Information Protection of Ukraine during its work to repel attacks by Russian hackers, Fancybear has been among the most active groups in 2023. It's actually the third most active. And its methods include phishing campaigns to obtain authentication data for mail servers, which are followed by malware and cyber espionage. So why is this a problem? Because cyber attacks have become a major concern for European security. Cyber attacks targeting political entities, institutions, and parts of critical infrastructure threaten national security of its member states and disrupt democratic processes. And what exactly happened during the recent attacks? We see a broader pattern of how Fancybear engages globally. What Czech Republic said in its statement by Ministry of Foreign Affairs is that unnamed entities in the country have been attacked using a security flaw in Microsoft Outlook. And this security flaw is now patched, but before it was patched, it allowed threat actors to access the system and authenticate themselves. The same was, or very similar things we see in Germany. So the federal government said that in 2023, cyber attacks aimed at the Social Democratic Party were using the very same Outlook vulnerability for a relatively long period, and it allowed compromise of numerous email accounts. So we see over the time, over the years, and I will now mention some earlier examples, that the methods which are being used by this threat actor are very similar. Some of the industry verticals that were targeted as part of this campaign included logistics and other parts of critical infrastructure, IT services, foundations, and associations located not only in Germany, but also in Ukraine and in wider Europe. And the federal government also implicated this group in an earlier cyber attack on Bundestag. A very similar case to the last one includes the one which was publicly attributed in December last year by the British government, which exposed a series of attempts by the Russian intelligence services to target high-profile British individuals and entities through cyber operations. What happened then, and we'll speak about the consequences today, is at that time, United Kingdom sanctioned two Russian nationals responsible for political interference.
So can you tell us more about other Russian cyber activities targeting the EU?
Russian cyber activities, which are targeting members of the European Union, will remain a top cyber threat for years to come. Russia-sponsored and affiliated actors refine and employ cyber espionage, influence, and attack capabilities. Many of them are especially focused on improving its ability to target critical infrastructure. And when we zoom out and look at the overall picture of cyber attacks, we see two key trends. One is that attacks against critical infrastructure and various entities connecting to critical infrastructure are growing in their frequency, scope, and sophistication, and then the consequential impacts. At the same time, we have seen that participation of wide variety of non-traditional actors is increasing. And this is changing and worsening threat landscape, because states are no longer the only ones with offensive cyber capabilities. And more than that, they can use proxies to achieve their political aims. And why is this especially relevant this year? Because elections are a key target of these activities. Since the 2019 European elections, the election threat landscape has significantly evolved. And at the same time, cyber threat activity targeted elections globally have increased. And the overall effect, which we fear, is that such cyber attacks can undermine trust in the European Union as such, and polarize voters for years to come.
So maybe just for the sake of the listeners, can you explain what proxies mean?
Proxies are groups which are not state groups, but they are kind of independent groups. It's a very wide term of hacktivist groups, cyber criminal groups, and other individuals and collectives which are being used by the governments for their political aims. So it's not directly the government per se conducting the cyber attack, but through their proxies, which can be sponsored or even loosely affiliated to state, they conduct cyber attacks which help to achieve their strategic aims.
Okay, so were there any previous measures taken by the EU against similar Russian cyber attacks or even just cyber attacks in general?
Absolutely. When we come back to attributions, these as the last one, the very recent one, these are very important steps for evidence-led accountability in cyberspace. But these are not the only steps. It's just the first step in the whole chain of measures which needs to happen to increase accountability, especially specifying which laws or norms have been violated following a malicious cyber incidents can increase the transparency of attributions, and it can also contribute to building capacity of other countries in applying the framework of responsible behavior in cyberspace. And I would like to stop at the framework of responsible behavior in cyberspace, because this has been a reference in the political attributions done recently by the Czech Republic and Germany, which is very important. So what is the framework? The framework is a set of 11 norms which have been agreed upon by consensus at the United Nations. And what the statements say is that malicious cyber campaigns show that Russia is continuously having this pattern of irresponsible behavior in cyberspace and violating these kind of norms by targeting democratic institutions, targeting government entities and critical infrastructure providers across the European Union and beyond. This type of behavior is contrary to the UN norms of responsible state behavior in cyberspace, such as impairing the use and operation of critical infrastructure. Russia has repeatedly leveraged FancyBear and other groups to conduct malicious cyber activities against the European Union, against its member states, and against its international partners, very notably Ukraine. And this is in blatant disregard of international security and stability. And this national attribution process, which we have seen in this recent example, is very important, because attributing an attack is basically as exercising muscle. It must be done frequently to practice, otherwise it can be too politically sensitive and then various offices do not know the process. Such attribution also help to keep the cyber file on top of agenda for governments and just keep others informed and build their capacities about the attacks which are happening and can happen also to them, so they can prepare and increase their cyber resilience.
So let's talk about the concrete steps that we can anticipate after this statement. Because you said, you mentioned there might be other measures to follow.
Yes, a key debate is in this attribution is what to attribute and why. What is the threshold for attribution? So it doesn't only stay as a crying wolf kind of situation that we attribute a lot of events, or states attribute a lot of events publicly, and then nothing happens. Actions must have consequences so we can increase accountability of activities in cyberspace. It often happens even, and this is very interesting, that if you attribute some attacks, some actors can even take pride in that or disregard the statement if it's not followed by any measures. So the big picture of accountability and what is also the European Union starting to do over the past years is less about the act of public attribution and more about the consequences of such attacks. So attributions need to have teeth, and some attributions do that through the sanction mechanisms And other repercussions can include diplomatic, political, or economic consequences. When it comes to diplomatic measures, even without public attribution, there can be political messaging and signaling, and this is very important on the state-to-state level. This can include addressing ambassadors, as well as other signals that can be sent to the country that the country which has been victim of an attack remains watchful. And this can lower future risks of cyber attacks and also show solidarity with other countries. When it comes to sanctions, as such, these are well-known mechanisms for increasing cyber accountability. Sanctions against Fancybear are not new. They have been used before, for example, by the United States, which has previously indicted and sanctioned actors associated with APT28. In 2020, the EU imposed sanctions on individuals and entities responsible for the APT28 attacks targeting the German Federal Parliament earlier. And this time, we're also expecting that European countries may include potential sanctions against any new people which are connected to these attacks conducted by Fancybear.
And you wanted to add something on elections?
With multiple elections around the world this year, raising awareness of the threats to the EU and its international partners remains very important for collective resilience. So public attributions, such as the recent one, are very much important and needed. First of all, for increasing understanding how cyber tactics have evolved in terms of target selection, and this can provide insights into potential future targets. And this could include critical infrastructure, government agencies, or specific industries, which are the targets very much connected to the methods and operations of Fancybear. Secondly, understanding how malicious actors have manipulated attribution and maintain deniability can help anticipate their tactics in future operations. And this is especially of false flag operations. So through these kind of attributions, we can learn more about the methods, about the process of attribution, and build capacities across the partners globally. And lastly, investigating relationships between threat actor groups and their collaboration with other state sponsored or non-state entities can very much help to explain their potential alliances and cooperative strategies and help cyber defense to prepare for it.
That's all we got time for this week. Thank you very much to Pavlina for joining me. Don't forget to sign up to your free Tech Brief newsletter to stay on top of tech news and digital policy developments in the EU and beyond. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast published on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Amazon Music. I am Julia Tar. Thank you for listening.